Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, I'm Alan Cumming, and welcome to My Shelves. My shelves are sort of a museum of my life. I like to keep things from my travels that are, to me anyway, the very essence of the experiences I've had. Sort of portals, if you will, to a specific time and place. And the inspiration for stories and memories and musings. Here's an ashtray I stole from the Hotel du Cap in the south of France on the night that I hosted the Cinema Against AIDS gala at the Cannes Film Festival, and I was absolutely horrified when the auctioneer came on stage and told Jennifer Lopez she looked like an ostrich. Here's some skin products that remind me of my dermatologist, who just a couple of years ago told me, when I showed him a little red dot on one of my testicles, that that was nothing more serious than a normal part of scrotal aging. Yes. Here's a tin of mints from the 2004 Democratic National Convention in Boston that I attended as a delegate. That year, I saw Barack Obama make the speech that launched his political ascendancy. And I also spoke on a panel about arts education and was seated between, guess who? Arianna Huffington and Bill O'Reilly. Talk about a shit sandwich. This week on Alan Cumming Shelves, I'm actually talking about two different things. The first is a little bracelet. Can you hear? It's one of those little beady bracelets made from a bead set by a little girl in Vancouver for me. And joining me to talk about it is my dear old chum, Ian McKellen. I was wondering if you'd ever been to any other nudist beaches.
You mind your own business.
Welcome, bienvenue, welcome.
So I've got two things actually on my shelves that I want to talk about. I started with one, but I found another. So do you remember we did a film called Never Was?
Yes, I do.
Isn't that funny? And it's ironically called Never Was because it never was. It never came out.
Did it not?
It never did. I saw it at the Toronto Film Festival, but I don't think it ever...
It was a lovely film.
It's beautiful.
Remind me of the director's name.
Joshua Michael Stern.
Yes, that's right.
I thought it was one of those great, great scripts.
And yes.
It attracted really great people. And it was you. It was me. There was Jessica Lang.
Jessica Lang.
Lovely, yes. Little Brittany Murphy, who's sadly no longer with us. Nick Nolte.
That's how I came to do it. I got a handwritten letter from Nick Nolte, who I didn't know, saying that he'd met this young man and been... very impressed, so impressed that he'd agreed to do this film without, I think, even reading the script. And
wow.
He urged me to do the same. And, you know, if Nick Nolte asks you to do something...
Snap.
If
yes,
you're
you
me, you do it, don't you?
I forgot this at the time when I was talking to Ian, but I just would like to say I have said no to Nick Nolte because once I was doing a film with him in Berlin called Investigating Sex and I was sick. I had a, you know, a cold or something. I was really run down. And Nick, I think he holds the record or something for having had more homeopathic treatments done to him than any other human being. He came on the set with a little doctor's bag and he's going, "Oh, Alan, I'll sort you out. I got some good stuff here." And he got out this doctor's bag and he got out a little bottle of stuff. Then he got out a syringe and I was like, "What the hell do you think you're going to do with that?" He goes, "It's really great stuff. Really great, great vitamin B. I'm going to give you a shot. You'll be up and running." And I'm like, "There is no way you are getting near me with a needle, Nick Nolte." So I have said no to Nick Nolte.
Who else was in it? Richard?
Well, I've got the cast here. Aaron Eckhart was your son,
yes,
wasn't it? And because it was about a man who is like finding more about his past. His father had written had written this magical children's book.
That's right.
But then you were sort of in a mental hospital, weren't you? But then which is where I was. I was a patient in the mental.
Yes, you were.
Vera Farmiga was another patient in the hospital. Michael Moriarty.
And I relived the book that I'd written, and it turned out to be more of an autobiography than a fantasy.
Yes.
It was absolutely charming. And you say no one's ever seen it.
I doubt it. Because, I mean, I don't think it ever was released properly. I mean, you can probably get it on, you know, some sort of form in some point. But, like, it doesn't have, on IMDb, it doesn't have those things like, you know, when it came out and how much money it made and all that. So I remember it never coming out.
How did you come to do it?
I think Josh just asked me to be in it. Mm. And then I think I did the same thing as Nick Nolte did to you, because he said he was going to ask Jessica to play the mum, Jessica Lang. And I said, well, I'll ask her because I think she'd love this. And so it was all, you know, I think that's actually a great testament to that script and to him, that we all kind of were willing to go and vouch for him to other people.
Yeah.
But it was, there was also, let's think, Jessica Lang, William Hurt, Michael Moriarty.
William Hurt? My goodness.
I forgot about him. Yes, he was the therapist.
He was brilliant.
It was so good. I must go and look at it again, actually. But that was shot in Vancouver, where we've made a couple of films. But a lovely... did you know, actually, I was just thinking about this the other day, that you know the mental hospital we were in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was actually an old real mental hospital that they used for film set. I've shot a few films in that place. Okay. And up the hill, there's a real mental hospital.
Oh, dear.
And it's still, you know, working. And there's actually a wrap photo. You know, when at the end of the film, all the cast and crew get together and you just sit there and everyone takes... In one film that I've done, or TV, you know, miniseries I've done there, one of the patients came in and was in the wrap photo.
Oh.
Isn't that cute?
That's lovely.
But the thing I was going to tell you was that in the attic of that, the bit that where we filmed, at the time we were filming there, were thousands of pot plants, and it was used as this pot sort of farm. And it was like, how did we not know?
How did we not discover?
With our finely tuned noses.
No, what's wrong with our noses?
I know. Well, and so it wasn't till later that it was discovered, and it was like, you know, millions of dollars worth of pot was being grown in that thing. And now, of course, it's all legal in Canada.
Yes, yes, of course. I mean, there's something about Vancouver. It reminds me very much of New Zealand, actually, in its landscape, but also in the attitudes of the people. They seem to be like perhaps San Francisco was in the old days. They seem to be living in their own wonderful, magical world. And I looked out, I was staying, I've been there a number of times, and I was living on the amazing bay, which is why the city grew up there. And I looked across at the mountains, and suddenly I saw coming over the mountains what looked like searchlights. And I thought, it's an invasion of something. And I watched the green lights that flashed into the sky and wobbled. And I realised I was looking at the Northern Lights.
You saw the Northern Lights from Vancouver?
Yes. Well, it must have been that. What else could it have been?
Whoa.
It went on for about 15 minutes. It wasn't as impressive as, you know, the full-scale thing. But it
was, in the movies.
Like in the movies, but there it was. And because I was in Vancouver, I thought, yeah, well, that's another thing that happens in Vancouver. You know, there's a man who puts pebbles on top of each other on the beach there.
Yes.
And they get washed away at high tide. That's magical too.
I know, that beach, that Kitsilano beach. Is that the one you're
that's
on?
That's right, yes, that's right, Kitsilano beach.
I was just there actually shooting a thing, and it was so lovely. I went past the house that I stayed in when I was doing X-Men, and I used to come walk along the beach to your house.
That's right.
Filming.
I know.
So
and
lovely.
We took Connie for a walk.
Yes, it was such a good... She loved all those little crab pools and everything.
And what have you got there, a memento of those days?
Well, the first one is from Never Wars, because we shot that a couple of years after X-Men 2, but I wanted to start with this because Josh, the director, had this lovely little daughter. Do you remember her? She was a cute yes. little thing. I mean, she's probably like a big grown-up now.
Yeah.
There was one day, I think it was towards the end of the film, we all went over and had lunch at their house, and there was one time I'd been doing arts and crafts with her and we're playing with things and da da da. And Josh's wife said to me, oh, you know, she's made you a little necklace. And I was like, oh, how lovely. She goes, yeah, she's, you know, it's one of those ones with beads and you put your name on it. And she went, but she's kind of got your name a little wrong. I was like, oh, don't worry, that'll make it all the cuter. So the little girl presents me with this little beaded necklace, which I have in front of me, and it says anal instead of Alan.
Oh, God bless Vancouver.
I know, the wisdom of children.
That's funny.
Isn't that hilarious? But I really did love that film, and I remember a scene when we all escaped from the mental hospital and you were dancing in a garden at night. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. And I remember being out in the woods there. They were the same woods we used for one of the X-Men movies.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Marvellous.
And the other thing I've got...
Talking of anal.
is... this is my memory of it, and I'll be fascinated to hear your version. So I remember that we were shooting X-Men forever. It took forever, that long time we were there in Vancouver, and I would walk along every morning with the honey, my dog, and my chat. And I remember one time I was on a book tour at weekends, and sometimes you babysat honey. And one day he said to me, Alan, there's apparently a nudist beach in Vancouver. And I went, yes, I know. It's called Wreck Beach. Yeah, I've heard of that. And then the next day he went, do you know, Alan, I've heard there's a nudist beach in Vancouver. And I was like, is he getting senile already? And I was like, and then like another day, do you know, I was just reading about this nudist beach. I was like, do you want to go to the nudist beach, Ian? Is that what you're saying to me? So we duly went.
We did.
We had such a laugh. And so it's that funny thing where you go down, that was that beautiful, remember, really green, verdant, leafy, magical lane
you have to be quite active and to get there, because it's a very, very steep decline, isn't it, from the road where you leave your car.
Yeah.
And you take whatever you need for the nudist beach, which isn't a lot, actually.
No, thankfully.
And I could not credit it when we landed down on... Was it Sandy? I think it was Sandy.
Yes, it was Sandy, yeah.
And there were all these people without a scrap of clothing on. Of all ages. That was what was nice.
Yes, that was lovely about it, yeah.
It wasn't the buff youngsters showing off, though there were plenty of them, of both genders.
Yeah.
Or we should these days say all genders.
All genders.
All genders. And a lot of people of my age who were having sort of picnics. Clearly they've been coming for years. And it was a lovely family sort of atmosphere, wasn't it?
And it really was.
Little kids playing, a few dogs sniffing around. They had a wonderful time.
I mean, I found that about nudisty things. Like if you just sort of, I think people make the connection of sex to nudism, and they're absolutely disconnected, I think. I mean, not always, of course, but that was what that felt like. It felt really liberating to not be sort of thinking or being judged in that way. And also... I found it hilarious because so we, you know, sat down, put a little mat down, took our clothes off. I remember you kept on your sort of cricket umpire hat that you had on, your little straw hat to keep the sun off. And the hilarious thing of us walking along and people recognizing us whilst we're naked. So they look at your face and realize it's you, then they immediately span down
to see
what's on offer. I would too. But I thought it was so liberating.
There were attractive young ladies walking around with trays of cocktails.
That's right. Sort of punch and things. Yes, I do.
You could buy joints down there.
Yes.
Ready rolled, no doubt grown in the
BC pot.
The hospital you were talking about.
Yes.
And it was everything was fancy free. Occasionally
it was really lovely.
A boat would come and take some people away. But on the whole, people just sat and chatted.
Yeah,
and it
played
was,
badminton,
yes,
I remember
it well.
And I remember one time there was a there was people, you know, going around, so it was like sangria and drinks and pot cookies and stuff. And I remember there was a man, and they're all naked too. And I remember there was a man selling, like, you know, pot pipes, little homemade pipes made of clay or all the different things that were made of. And he had them dangling on a string round his waist. That was sort of his. And I remember you saying, could I have a look at your wares, young man? And so this, and we were sitting down. So this guy walks up and he's just at our heads are at his penis level. And we're sort of touching the merchandise, having a, oh, that's a nice one, Ian. It's got a little like a marijuana flag on it.
And oh, dear.
It was hilarious.
I didn't buy one. You don't have a pipe, do you, left from that day?
No, I don't have a pipe from that day. No. No, we did. We touched, but we didn't buy that gentleman's
goods.
Right.
Well, I've never been back, but were I to be in Vancouver again, and I hope I will.
It's still going strong. I didn't go this. I actually went to shoot a thing called Schmigadoon, which is coming out soon. Which was it was that interesting time of year. It was like I went at the sort of middle of September till about the beginning of December. So I really caught all the seasons, and I should have not, because when I went there, it was t-shirt weather and, you know, and flip-flops, but I didn't get to the nudist beach. But what you did buy that day, Ian, which I still have here, and it was it's such a lovely thing, it's getting a little worse for wear, was a little hemp, it was meant to be like hemp necklace for people, but you got a hemp necklace, and you, because you were away for a bit, I thought, what's happening? And you were with a little, you're doing a surprise. And so it's a little hemp necklace. And then it was like, it's in the same way as that little girl made me my anal necklace. It was the words, the letters H-O-N-E-Y spelled honey. And it was a little necklace for Honey, my dog.
Yes.
So cute. And so lovely.
Aww.
Do you know what's funny? Where I am right now, you know, she died, obviously. But she, there's a, up here in the Catskills, there was a stone dog that my mum gave me, like a big, one of those stone sort of, you know, concrete-y, like a lab.
Yes, yes.
Very, not a sort of naturalistic one, just a sort of, I really like it anyway. She gave it to me in London, brought it in a garden centre for me in London when I had a flat in London in like the mid-90s. No, earlier actually, maybe even the late 80s. And I've carted it around the world, this blooming huge concrete thing. And then it was up here. And then when Honey died, I realized why I'd carted it around the world all these years.
Yes. It's her gravestone.
Yeah, it's her gravestone. And we even put some of her ashes underneath it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Stuff. And I can see it from, actually, when you arrive at this house, you look across and she's sitting on top of the deck
by the
pool.
So nice. I've got a dog made of fiberglass, but he was crafted by Max Patty, who's an English sculptor and artist, who worked on Lord of the Rings and actually, I think, designed the original image for Gollum.
Oh, wow.
But he does many, many other things, including this dog, which is a mongrel, I think, but dog size, sensible dog size. And everybody who sees it jumps and says, oh, you've got a dog. Yes. And then it's not moving. I said, no, it says it's a trick dog. But so I see him every day, but he's not a memorial to him, but he's just himself.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I love that idea. Mm. And did you go back to Vancouver again after X-Men 2?
I made another film called Emile. I don't know whether that was before.
That's right.
Really remember when that was, but it was, we filmed that mainly in on Vancouver Island, where I think Prince Harry and his wife lived briefly. And I can't blame them. And I've got a memento of that. I bought a carving of the tail of a whale.
Wow.
Not whale, not life size, but that's in my bathroom, and I see it and touch it every day. And every day of my life, as I'm having a pee, I think of Vancouver Island.
That's
my memento.
That's lovely. I think it's actually really amazing what things you know, like I've got things on my shelves and I can't remember why they're there, but I know there must be a really good reason that I've kept them. And I think that's even nicer that you've lost the connection to what it was, but you've still got the thing. I think that's just as important.
Well, I mean, in the old days, we had photograph albums, didn't we?
Yeah.
And that took you back. What the hell am I wearing? Who is that? It's me. Oh, Christ.
No.
What have I got on my head? It's your hair. Oh, all that. But it takes you right back, doesn't it? And objects, I think, are even better because you can touch them and relate to them. And
yeah.
I've got a shelf with things on it, and I know what they all are. They look like as boring as a museum to other people, but for me,
yes,
I can go right back.
That's what I say about my shelves. It's sort of like a museum of my life.
Yes.
You know, yes. It's so funny you were saying that about looking back at pictures. I was looking at some pictures from last summer, like, and I had my, you know, lockdown haircut. When COVID started, I was in London doing Endgame, and so I was bald.
Yeah.
That's the last time I saw you. I was totally bald.
Very good.
Bless you. And then I just grew my hair in, but you know how your hair grows in at different... Anyway, I saw a picture of myself from about last August, and I was on the Zoom with my assistant, Matt, and I said, what was I thinking with my hair this summer? And he just went, you said it, not me.
Well, when I saw you in that show, you were sitting as the blind,
yes.
Ham, is he called?
Yes, he's Ham, yeah.
And your skirts were lifted up so we could see your legs. And I thought, good God, what's happened to Alan? Because his legs, when I saw them in Vancouver on the beach there, they were fine. But my goodness, what has he been on a diet?
Age has withered him.
I didn't know they were false legs until I was talking about it to a friend the other day. He said they weren't his legs.
What, just the other day you just realised?
Yes, I did. I sat through the whole show worrying about you.
And that's months ago. You must have thought I was like withering away. Because there are these little plastic, not polystyrene, but sort of rubber legs that were put over the... I sat inside a chair and they were sort of flapped over the chair
They were the opposite of fetching.
Totally. It was not a good look for me, but, you know, I dive into into what I need to dive into for the role. But it's actually hilarious about who I, you know, I actually had quite a comfortable, I was sitting on one of those chairs, the sort of Swedish chairs where you sort of squat on them, you know what I mean? It's quite good for your back. So I was quite good.
Do you ever have that when you're looking really unattractive in a movie or something and you think you ought to just tell the audience, this isn't really me. This is pretend. This is makeup. When I saw Little Night Music on Broadway years ago with the great Hermione Gingold, who was a great artist, particularly beloved by gay men. But there she was playing the old dowager in the musical in a wheelchair. And we thought, oh, my God, poor old Hermione Gingold, her legs are giving way. And when it came to the curtain call, it was her turn, and there was a pause, and finally she came on sticks. She was out of her wheelchair, and we thought, oh, what a brave, brave woman. At which point she hit centre stage, she threw both sticks into either wing, picked up her skirts, and danced down to the audience. Yeah.
Oh, Hermione, that's so good.
Now, the trouble with films is you don't get a curtain call.
No. You just, I mean, I always think it's what's hilarious is at the premiere of something, how people present themselves according to what they are in the film. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember it in that tennis film I did, Battle of the Sexes, and Andrea Riseborough played the lover of Billie Jean King that Emma Stone played. And so, I mean, she wasn't dowdy, but she looks very attractive, but in a sort of long hair wig and kind of, you know, very sort of California sort of look. And it wasn't the premiere, but it was the Toronto Film Festival. And we were at this party. It was sort of the party of all the films and, you know, it's just everybody's, all loads of friends and movie stars and blah, blah, blah. And we're chatting away. And I was sitting with, it was Emma and some people, and I remember Alison Janney was there. And she goes, I said, what are you doing here, Alison? She goes, I've done this film about a skater. And then that was that one she won the Oscar for. And anyway, at one point I said to Emma, I said, oh my God, Lady Gaga is here. And she went, oh, well, maybe it's because of the film, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's doing this film with, you know, what's his name? And all night I was thinking, gosh, Lady Gaga, I must go and say hello. But I wonder if, you know, like... Anyway, at one point I was like, oh my God, Lady Gaga's coming over. She's coming over, she's coming right over. I said, do you know Lady Gaga? She's like, I have met her, yes. I met her once, but comes over. It's Andrea Riseborough. And she's for the entire evening. She had this crazy sort of space age kind of dress with one big pointy shoulder going about and like really short blonde shaved hair. And kind of, and she was, it was, I thought she was Lady Gaga the entire time.
Have you ever been mistaken for somebody else?
I get Pee Wee Herman. A lot of people think I'm Pee Wee Herman, right. Especially when my hair slicks back. I get that a lot. Who do you get?
Peter O'Toole.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Except he's dead.
There's that, yes.
I used to have a line with people who said, hello, Peter. I said, no, I'm what Peter O'Toole used to look like.
Oh, that's good.
The actor Tom Courtney, I get mistaken.
Oh, you get him, right.
And now, of course, everybody thinks I'm Dumbledore.
Oh, hilarious. Yeah. It's like, remember Alan Bennett and David Hockney always used to get mistaken.
Oh, yes.
And David Hockney used to sign it as Alan Bennett. It's so hilarious.
Tom Fordyce, I never would have met you if it hadn't been for We Didn't Start the Fire.
Katie Pucklew, I thought I didn't want to learn anymore. I was wrong.
And you know why we're learning so much?
Oh man, that's a tough one.
This is a really interesting story.
In 1949, 1950, the communist troops came to my province.
Because this is the best history podcast you've ever listened to in your entire life.
What?
They shot him live in front of the whole village.
My mouth is just hanging open. I can't believe this.
And yes, it's sort of based on Billy Joel's song, but it's a history podcast. It tells us all the reasons why the world today is as it is, but it's more.
I killed a cactus recently.
My connection to Marilyn.
Walter Winchell.
Don't you love Brando? If there was a movie, it was just Brando's face. I'd put it on in the background all day. I'd be perfectly happy.
Search for We Didn't Start the Fire.
We'll wait for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you know, I was just looking at the... I wonder if you ever went there. You know the Hockney painting, it's called... it's like two people, one man on the side of a swimming pool and another man under the water in a swimming pool.
Yes, yeah.
The actual pool, everyone thinks it's California.
It's not. It's not. I know it.
Pool with two figures. It's in this place in the south of France, which used to belong to Tony Richardson. And did you ever go there?
I've swum in that pool, yeah.
Me too, Ian. Me too.
Not at the same time.
Not at the same time, no. That's so funny. Oh, that isn't it a beautiful, beautiful place?
Well, and it's still exactly the same. Of course, there's no building happening. Even those tall trees are still there. Yes, it is beautiful.
It was like a little hamlet on a hill.
Well, Natasha Richardson inherited it from
her
father.
She and Jolie and Catherine,
the three of them shared it. They did, yes.
But it's just such a magical place. Like, it's above Saint-Tropez and it's like a whole little hamlet because it's like an old like bit where they baked the bread. It was now a little shed and... It was just this beautiful, magical getaway. It's a way down a wee lane. And what I loved, and there's a big kind of a guest book, and it was all sort of, you know, people from long ago of the sort of literati and the culture world. It was just a magical... So how funny. When did you go there?
Oh, I don't know. I went a couple of times, and it was a little village of people who made cork. They had cork trees and they rip off the bark and they use the cork to stop wine bottles. But nobody has cork in wine bottles anymore. Well, not so much. So it was just this little village, this hamlet. And Tony Richardson bought the whole thing.
I didn't know the Cork connection.
So we have their little. You stay in your own little house, don't you? And then go to the big house.
And you eat out on the terrace.
Yeah.
And watch. It's just a magical place. Did you, forgive me if I don't know this, but did you work with Tony Richardson a lot?
No. He cast me long ago to play Ned Kelly, the Irish terrorist in Australia, well, great hero, who met a sticky end dressed up in armour. But Ned Kelly had been a boxer in his youth, and once I got the part, I started going every day for boxing lessons, and I was riding three times a week and getting fit. And one day I was in the, come out of the sauna and was reading a daily newspaper, relaxing, and I opened up the Daily Mirror and I saw the headline, Mick Jagger to play Ned Kelly.
Shut up.
And I never had a word from Tony Richardson about that. And they made the film.
Nothing.
With all due respect to everybody, I mean, how could Mick ever play a boxer? Anyway, he can dance, but anyway.
Yeah.
And it was about the time, it would be 20 or even 30 years later that I met Tony Richardson in Los Angeles, where he was living. And he just came up to me at a party and said, sorry about Ned Kelly.
What? 30 years later.
I'd been on his conscience, but no, wow. I never work with him, no.
That is so bizarre. So they never said, did you get a call from your agent saying, oh, you know, they've gone with someone else and they're sort.
I don't think we heard a word. It was extraordinary.
How terrible.
When we was out in Le Need, which is where this swimming pool was, Liam Neeson and Natasha, they're two young lads, boys, they were rather fans of Lord of the Rings and couldn't believe that Gandalf was actually there. And we were going to have a little concert in the evening in the open air for the grown-ups, and I and the boys put together a little sketch about Gandalf. And then, just before the concert was to start, Vanessa arrived, Vanessa Redgrave, Natasha's mother.
Yeah.
And guess what? When the concert took place, suddenly Gandalf had a wife. and it rapidly became the main part. So the boys and I rather stood to one side, feeling a bit silly while Vanessa made up
Mrs.
Place.
Gandalf. That's hilarious. Yeah. Oh, how funny. I was wondering if you'd ever been to any other nudist beaches.
You mind your own business. No, I haven't actually, no. No, I don't. Oh, I must have been, yes, in England somewhere. But of course, we don't on the whole have the weather for it here.
No.
It's all a bit chancy, isn't it? But
I think I've been to a couple in America. I've been to some, I'm just thinking about it now.
I've had them pointed out to me. In fact, I was in Brighton on the south coast here in England, and
they have a nudie bit.
They have a nude beach that was pointed out. It was absolutely empty, but of course it would. It was looking out into the cold British Channel, English Channel.
You know, just when I was in Vancouver recently, there was I had a week off, and I'm working on another book, so I thought I'll go into a little hut somewhere, you know, in the mountains, and sequester myself. And so I got this little place on the water up, like only about 45 minutes outside of Vancouver. And it was this place, I think it was called Brunswick Beach. And it was called, not Lions Bay, is that where you get? I think it's Lions Bay. There's some horseshoe bays where you get the ferries to all the islands. Then Lions Bay was the next bit. And I rented this little house.
Excuse me, over Lions Bay is the Lions Gate Bridge, which the origin of the film company, Lions Gate.
That's right. Yeah. And also, I think it is one of the 10 bridges in the world, or suspension bridges in the world, most likely to fall down. Oh. Someone told me as I was driving over that bridge. It was Christian Campbell. He's such a science geek. He told me that. I was like, timing. Anyway, I went to this little place. It was so lovely. And me and my dog, Lala. And I walked along the beach one day, the first day. And there was a sign and it said clothing optional beach. And so there was a like, and it was a stony, like hardly a beach at all. Like with those, it had millions of big logs and tree trunks, you know, swept up, and it was magical. And I just thought how hilarious that I would just by pure chance come upon a clothing optional beach. But it was like not the time of year. I saw a couple of people, but they were fully clothed.
And you had your little writing hut overlooking the beach?
Yeah, looking out onto the sound and looking over at those islands. Absolutely. I mean, it was magical. And it was cold, I'd put the fire on and we'd walk.
The other day I went to Larm, which is a tiny little village in South Wales where Dylan Thomas, the writer, lived. Mm-hmm. And you can go and see the little garage it is. It's a hut up on stilts overlooking the bay, in which he wrote Under Milkwood, and you peer through the window and there's his chair and his sports coat still on the back of the chair. But he got inspiration like you did from being away from everybody, but at the same time looking out on this fabulous seascape.
Right now, when I'm looking out, as I talk to you, I'm in the Catskills, I'm looking out at just rolling hills and snow covered. It's been snowing a lot here. It's just a magic, and in the summer, it's just the green and rolling hills as far as you can see. I always write here, and I think it's just, I mean, and it's the great thing is I am away from it, but it's also my home.
Yeah.
So it's got the best of both worlds.
Well, I'm looking over the Thames. It's sunset. The whole sky is orange and green and blue. It's been a wonderful day. Wonderful.
Ah, well, thanks for talking to me, Ian.
And I should just tell you that at the beginning of this week, I went in for my second jab. So,
oh, you got it. So you're fully...
Within a matter of days, I should be COVID resistant.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But what can one do? I don't think I can just go out and be fancy free, but because I might be carrying the virus, although I can't be affected by it. But I'm feeling a little bit euphoric and special.
That's great. That's great.
I hope everybody else gets it soon.
Which one did you get, you know?
It was the Pfizer.
The Pfizer one.
Yeah.
So is that the one that has to be at really cold temperature?
Cold temperature, and you have to have two doses, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming and talking to me, and it's been lovely reminiscing with you, Ian,
lovely,
as it always
lovely
is.
Lovely to hear your voice. And what's the name of your dog?
Lala.
Lala,
Yeah. And we've got Jerry as well, the little chihuahua. Like we had, did you ever meet Leon? We had Honey, and Leon was the little chihuahua that we had.
Oh, yes,
Honey...
I did meet. Yes,
right.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now we've got sort of Lala's not quite as big as Honey, but Jerry's a little bigger than Leon was, but he's a chihuahua rat terrier mix. So they're funny.
Are they lying at your feet as we talk?
No, they're upstairs because Grant's upstairs and they're kind of laying low. We take the jingly bell thing off the front door so it doesn't make a noise when they go out for a pee when I'm recording. I'm very professional about this.
Give him my love.
I will do.
And lots of love to you.
You too. And I hope sometime soon we'll be able to go to another nudist beach together.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yes.
All right.
All right, lovely.
Take care. Bye-bye.
If any of you think you may have heard this story of Ian and I going to a nudist beach before, well, you know, you may well have. I've told the story a couple of times on talk shows over the years. But, you know, I always say, if a story's good, it's worth telling again. I first told it on the Graham Norton show in Britain, and it went down a storm. Graham made some very hilarious jokes. I remember he said, "Arise, Sir Ian." And the next day after the Graham Norton show, I was in a bookshop and my phone rang and I opened it up because it was in the days when you had to open your phone. And this person just said to me, "Slut." And I said, "Oh, hi, Ian." And it was today's guest. And he went, "I hear you were talking about my penis on television last night." And I remember saying, "I said it was big." Anyway, on that note, it's time to put these two little bracelets back on Alan Cumming's shelves. I hope you've had a good time, and I hope you'll join me for another trip down memory lane next time. Alan Cumming's Shelves is hosted by me, Alan Cumming, and my predator, That's not anything weird or wrong or scary. It's just someone who is a mixture of a producer and an editor. You see, Predator. His name is Jack Claremont, and he's an absolute darling. And we are part of the Crowd Network. Now, another Crowd podcast to check out is Death of a Film Star. These are the stories of Hollywood icons like Heath Ledger, Carrie Fisher, Robin Williams, and more. They're beautifully written episodes, all around 25 minutes long, and they pay tribute to some of the greatest actors that have ever been. The episode about Chadwick Boseman is brilliant. So check it out. Just search for Death of a Film Star in your podcast app.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.